Last August, a rapper called DaBaby dressed up like Jesus hanging on the cross for a music video called Tough Skin, using the cross of Jesus Christ to sell CDs. Then last month, Lil Nas X dressed up like Jesus hanging on the cross to try to claim that Jesus died to boost his music career. And last January the 8th, rapper Lil Dicky dressed up like Jesus hanging on the cross to claim that Jesus died for LGBTQ rights. Does anybody see a pattern here? Does anybody today still have a clue what the cross of Jesus Christ is really all about? Well, the Bible tells us that the cross of Jesus Christ is what the entire Bible is about, Old Testament and New Testament. And there's all kinds of incredible things in the Old Testament that paint the backdrop and lay the foundation for the cross of Jesus Christ when it shows up in the New Testament. And folks, if we're truly going to understand the cross, we've got to try to understand everything the Bible says about it, Old Testament and New Testament. Well, we're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Lent called Cross References, looking at all kinds of things in the Old Testament that refer to and point to the cross of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the very first cross reference in the very first part of the very first book in the Bible. And to see that, we turn today to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 to 24. If you have your Bibles, turn with me please, Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray you just teach us today. We've got sin in our life. Lord, we need to run to you instead of trying to hide from you. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin against God and try to hide from God. And in our text today, God tracks them down and does something incredible to save their soul. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, you want to be saved, you got to make sure you're not hiding from God either. Our text this morning, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 24, tells us three reasons why you don't hide from God because of the sin in your life. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why you don't hide from God because of your sin, is because God already knows about your sin. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 1 to 7. Because your sin does not take God by surprise. God doesn't go, oh my goodness, did you see that? I can't believe that. If I'd known she was going to do that with a phone, I'd have never created her. No. This parent right here. You say, well, Kevin, if God knew that human beings were going to sin, why did he ever create them to start with? This parent right here. Did you know before you had children? Did you know before you created human beings that they were going to sin? Absolutely she did. So why did she have them anyway? She had them because she loves them. She created them because she loved them in spite of their sin. Exactly the same reason God created us in spite of our sin. You don't hide from God because of your sin. But sadly enough, that's exactly what Adam and Eve do here. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. God created Adam and Eve and put them in a paradise place called the Garden of Eden. And God told them they could eat from any tree in that garden, including the tree of life that represented God. The buffet was open 24/7. But they weren't supposed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that represented independence from God. Because God knew if they ate of that tree, they'd think they were smarter than God. And they could determine what was right and wrong, what was good and evil on their own. And they would sin and they would die. But then verses 1 through 6. One day when Adam was at Home Depot, the devil comes to Eve and says, did God really say that you would die if you ate of that tree? Come on, man, you're not going to die. God just knows you eat of that tree, you eat that apple, you're going to become like God. But see, Adam and Eve were already like God, created in the image of God. How many of y'all realize the devil is a liar? Amen. And folks, that serpent was an inferior creature to Eve. She should have exercised authority and dominion over that, but she didn't. How many of y'all realize you don't have a conversation with the devil? You rebuke the devil, say, get thou behind me, Satan, and you cast him out. But Eve doesn't. Instead, she eats the fruit, she eats the apple. The reason women today have such a hard time choosing where to eat is because the first time they did, it damned all of mankind. Eve goes ahead and eats the apple. She gives it to Adam, he eats it too. Notice, mankind did not fall until Adam falls. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because Adam could have stopped it. So Adam and Eve both agreed to apples, terms and conditions, and they fall and they sin, and because of that one day, they're going to die. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And that sin nature, that tendency to sin, has been passed down generation to generation, all the way down to you and me today, which means every single one of us in this church right now, listen to this sermon, unless Jesus Christ comes first, we're going to die too. Amen. And then verse 7. Adam and Eve realize they're naked as a jaybird. So they try to cover up with fig leaves. And Eve says, do these leaves make me look fat? And they hide from God. You don't hide from God because of your sin. Because God already knows about your sin. But the sad thing is, too many people today are still eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil and sinning and still thinking they're smarter than God. Sheryl Crow sings that song, if it feels so good, how could it be bad? Pop singer Miley Cyrus is now shacking up with her boyfriend, drummer Max Miranda. Kevin, sex outside of marriage is wrong? What century are you from? And everybody sins. It doesn't matter who they are. Patrick Mahomes Sr., the father of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes Jr., arrested last February the 3rd in Tyler, Texas for felony DUI. And now he's looking at 10 years in prison because this is his third charge. Actor Jonathan Majors of the Marvel series, now indicted on multiple counts of domestic violence. And that guy's supposed to be a superhero. Last February the 7th, guy walks into an Apple store, Berkeley, California, and just started shoplifting all kinds of phones and electronic equipment. $49,000 worth of loot. Right in broad daylight, right in front of the employees. This is what it looked like.
Location in Emeryville. You can see here the man in all black. He grabs the phones from the display tables, puts them into his pockets, and then he walks out of the store. He also walks past an Emeryville police car before getting into a Hyundai.
Got more brass than a Chinese gong factory. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15, they are not even ashamed of their detestable conduct. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And notice Apple Corporation, whose logo is what? The apple from the Garden of Eden, with a bite taken out of it, symbolizing rebellion against God. Apple, you want rebellion? You got it. Amen. The devil running wild today, tempting all kinds of people to advertise for him. Last August, a female rapper named Doja Cat made a video called Demon, where she dressed up in that video like a demon spirit herself. People look at that. Romans chapter 3, verse 15, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Devil hiding in plain sight, and people still don't recognize it. The devil was all over the last Super Bowl. Super Bowl 58. Played last February the 11th between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs at Allegiant Field. Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. Black is a symbol of evil and the devil. Allegiant Stadium is all black, inside and out. In the Bible, the number 13 is the number of evil and the devil and the Antichrist and rebellion against God. Folks, the number 13 was all over that Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 58. 5 plus 8 equals 13. It was played on February the 11th, 2-11. 2 plus 11 is 13. One of the teams was the 49ers. 4 plus 9 equals 13. The 49ers had a halftime lead of 10-3. 10 plus 3 is 13. The Kansas City Chiefs used a 13-play drive to win that game in overtime. That Super Bowl was the 13th game that the Kansas City Chiefs had their tight end Travis Kelce on the field. I could go on and on and on. And Super Bowl 58 was the most watched Super Bowl in U.S. history because Travis Kelce is Taylor Swift's latest boy toy. And she was at the game in a million-dollar luxury skybox. And what do you know? Taylor Swift's favorite number is what? 13. She was born on December 13th. She moved to Nashville and started her music career when she was 13. She turned 13 on Friday the 13th. 2 weeks ago, she won her 13th Grammy Award. Her first album went gold in 13 weeks. She works the number 13 into her music. And when she started her career, she would paint the number 13 on her hand before every concert. The Super Bowl was the 13th NFL game that she ever went to. And right before the Super Bowl, she had a concert in Japan. So she flew nonstop from Tokyo to Las Vegas to make the game. And how long was the flight? You guessed it. 13 hours. So Kevin, you're saying that Taylor Swift is demonic? You tell me. Folks, last month, during a concert on her Eras tour, she dressed up like a sorcerer and danced with a coven of witches for a song called Willow, holding crystal balls and magic orbs, chanting incantations and spells out to the audience. This is what it looked like.
They are dancing around in a symbol of a coven, and some people say they're actually casting spells on the audience. Could be. Satan works through people. We know that. It's very frightening for Taylor Swift's soul, and most of all, I'm concerned for her fans, especially the young ones.
Folks, it was so authentic, a group of actual, real practicing witches in America that call themselves the Witchcraft School sent her this message. Welcome to the tribe, Taylor, and looking for many more years of divining the willow with you. Say whatever you want. Taylor Swift is glorifying witchcraft and the dark side. And during Super Bowl 58, one of the friends she had with her up in that skybox was a rapper named Ice Spice. And Ice Spice was wearing what around her neck? An upside down cross, a sign of Satanism. And throughout the game, she was doing this with her fingers, the devil's horn signs, another sign of Satanism. And she was wearing a black outfit made by Balenciaga, an Italian designer that got called out last year for pushing Satanism and pedophilia. Folks, Satanism, number 13, witchcraft. The devil's in the details. You don't think there was something funky about Super Bowl 58? You don't think the devil was using that game to show out big time? But the good news is, Super Bowl 58 not only showed us the works of the devil, it also reminded us of the incredible thing that God did to overcome the works of the devil. Quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers was Brock Purdy, a born-again Christian, very outspoken Christian since he was 8 years old. And what number is Brock Purdy on the San Francisco 49ers? Number 13. But not because he's evil. It's because when he was growing up, his favorite player in the NFL was Dan Marino, number 13 for the Miami Dolphins. But there's an even bigger reason than that. See, there's a man of God, a serious follower of Jesus Christ, wearing number 13, the number of the curse, bearing the curse, just like Jesus Christ bore the curse for us when he died on the cross, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, to take it all away. So that Super Bowl not only showed us the problem of evil, it also showed us the cure. People, listen to me. In these last days, when we are this close to the great tribulation and the coming of the Antichrist, the devil is popping up all over the place. Amen. But listen, no matter how hard he may be attacking you, no matter how bad he may be tempting you to do all kinds of bad things, you don't hide from God because of your sin. You go to God with your sin. Because God not only already knows about your sin, he's also already done something about it to Jesus Christ to take that sin away.
Amen.
The first reason why you don't hide from God because of your sin is because God already knows about your sin and has already done something about it.
Amen.
We're going on this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why you don't hide from God because of your sin. Not only because God already knows about your sin, but also because God's not hiding from you. And that's also what we see here in verses 8 through 19. Now verse 8, Adam and Eve hide in the Garden of Eden. And notice, even though the sin that they committed damned all of mankind, every single man, woman, boy, and girl who would ever live or die throughout the history of the whole wide world, even though they did something that bad, there's God. They didn't go to him. He went to them. And he said, where are you? Where are you? You can't hide from God. See the little boy trying to hide from his parents behind the curtain? That's what it looks like when you and me try to hide from God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Adam, where are you? And Adam says, verse 10, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And fig leaves are really scratchy. And they ooze out this sticky white goo. So you talk about a wardrobe malfunction. You can't hide from God. Got this letter 3 weeks ago. Pastor Kevin, I listen to your sermons every week, and I need to tell you this. I was married for 19 years to a beautiful, loving woman, and we had two wonderful children. But for some reason, I screwed around with a lot of other women in my marriage, but I was always able to hide it. But the last affair ended publicly with every gory detail exposed. My marriage, my family, my job, my reputation, everything I ever cared about is gone. I moved across country and even abandoned my kids to try to get away from it. But now I am at rock bottom and there's nowhere to turn. I never tell anybody about it because if I do, they'll find out I'm a horrible person who couldn't keep it zipped. So I don't let anybody know about my past. On the outside, I always smile, but on the inside, I feel so guilty, I want to kill myself. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam, where are you? And that's exactly the same question that God is asking all kinds of people sitting in this church right now, isn't it? Because you're hiding too, aren't you? You don't show the real you. You only show people the parts of you want them to see. The parts of you that you think they can handle. And you hide all that stuff from the past. The porn. The lust. The abuse. The affairs. The divorce. The hell that you put your parents through. Every single one of us in this church right now is hiding something about ourselves, aren't we? It's getting really quiet in here. Adam, where are you? And this is especially hard for guys to answer because expressing themselves doesn't come easy for guys. Opening yourself up to people, letting people see who you really are, being the real you, being vulnerable, being emotional. No, no. Big boys don't cry. Come on, Nancy, suck it up and be a man. Where are you? I'm pulling at your fig leaves today. You're hiding. Because you realize that you're naked. Naked meaning that other people know who you really are. And you don't want that because you hate yourself. And you're afraid if people find out who you really are, they'll hate you too. So you hide behind all kinds of fig leaves. Your success. and your money and your job title. I'm the pastor at Fox River Church. You hide. You're the perfect Christian girl. You get good grades in school. You go to youth group. You sing in the praise band because nobody knows when you're home alone. You cut yourself and you puke up everything you eat. You're the perfect Christian mother. You're the perfect Proverbs 31 woman. The perfect wife, the perfect basketball mom. Because nobody knows you are addicted to the XXX chat rooms. You're the perfect husband and dad. You're a regular Father Abraham. Except behind closed doors, you hit your wife in places that don't show. Just like your old man used to hit your mom and you don't know how to stop. And you would die if somebody found out. All kinds of people hide in church, don't they? It's getting really quiet in here now. It got hard. You walked out. You walked away from your own children. You could never please your mother. You were never good enough. You were never smart enough. Your old man was a drunk and told you you'd never amount to anything. And you still feel worthless because of it. And now you're starting to drink just like he did. And you don't want anybody to find out. And you're getting older. And you're scared now that you can't do the things that you used to do. And you're afraid that your husband isn't attracted to you anymore. And at this point in your life, you feel like a failure, like you've never accomplished anything. You feel absolutely worthless. And you feel like you've been a failure as a parent. But listen to me. You're hearing God's voice today. Your God is speaking to you today. Where are you? The naked you. Not the person you pretend to be. The real you. God says, I can't recognize you with all that stuff you've got covering yourself up. And if you keep hiding from me, you're never going to be what you could be. You are never going to be what I created you to be. Where are you? If you're hiding from God, that means you're making excuses for your sin. Just like Adam and Eve do here. God tells Adam, verse 12, what is this you've done? Adam says, well, God, it was that woman you gave me. You know how women are. So he's not only blaming Eve, he's also blaming God. Verse 13, Eve says, well, the serpent tempted me and I ate it. The devil made me do it. Now, the devil tempts us to sin, but we still choose to sin. And because of that, we're still guilty as sin. Excuses for sin. Illinois House Bill 4876, it's for the children. It's for the children. It changes the definition of child abuse to include parents who don't want their daughters to get abortions and parents who don't want their little kids to chop off their body parts and take Franken drugs that'll sterilize them for the rest of their life. It's not for the kids, it's against the kids. It's about destroying the influence of Christian conservatives in this state forever. The whole investigation into Russian collusion, it was to save our democracy. To save our democracy in a pig's eye. Substack confirmed 2 weeks ago. The whole Russian collusion hoax was engineered by the entire own U.S. intelligence service. President Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, James Comey of the FBI, John Brennan of the CIA, and the reason they raided Mar-a-Lago was because Donald Trump had a file down there that could prove the conspiracy. The greatest political scandal in the history of this country. And every single one of those despicable people ought to be at Gitmo right now. They found a dead body at Obama's house. They found an illegal server at Clinton's house. They found a male prostitute at Pelosi's house. They found cocaine at Biden's house. So the FBI raided Trump's house. But know this, there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Your sin will find you out. Because God will judge it. Just like He judges Adam and Eve's sin right here. Verse 16. The glory of woman is what? That she can give birth to new life. But now after the fall, she'll do it with a lot of pain. The glory of man. Verse 17 for Adam. The glory of man is dominion over the ground. But now after the fall, man will work the ground with a lot of pain and a lot of curses and blight and bugs and drought and weeds. Amen. You'll eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. And if you don't believe that, every single farmer in this church will tell you that it's true. But notice, in judgment, God always, always remembers mercy. Verse 15. God speaks to the serpent and He said, I will put conflict, I will put enmity between you and the woman. between the followers of the devil and the followers of Eve, the followers of God. But even more specifically here, verse 15, between your seed and her seed. The NIV is wrong. It just has offspring. The King James is right. It's seed is what that word says. Now, in the Old Testament, seed is always associated with the man. Eggs are always associated with the woman. So the fact that it says the seed of the woman here means that this male descendant that God is promising that Eve is going to have somewhere down the road is going to be born without an earthly father, which means he will be born of a virgin. So this future male descendant that Eve is going to have, the serpent will strike his heel, but he will crush the serpent's head. What is that talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. So here, right here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the first cross reference, the first reference to the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we're not even on page 3 of the Bible. And why is it mentioned so early? Because this is what the Bible is all about. The promise that God made that one day a future male descendant of Eve would suffer, but in the process of suffering, he would crush the devil's head and destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Proto-evangelion, they call it. The first mention of the gospel in the Bible. Right here up front. And folks, not only on the cross did Jesus bear that curse for us, Jesus also starts reversing that curse for us so that we can get back that dominion that Adam and Eve lost for us in the Garden of Eden. Last November, a monster tornado was almost set to touchdown, come down out of the sky outside of West Liberty, Kentucky. But then all of a sudden, a 49-year-old born-again, spirit-filled Christian named Charlotte Hall started doing that.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Oh, God, that's going to be big.
Take it away from us, Lord.
Charlotte Hall says she never stopped praying until the storm was gone.
Been through many storms in my life, and I was like, okay, God, you're going to take this.
Holy storm chasers, people. That woman was crying out to God, praying in tongues. That tornado never touched down. Her house was spared. Her entire neighborhood was spared. In Jesus Christ, we start getting that dominion back that was taken away from us at the Garden of Eden. Don't hide from God. Don't hide from God because of your sin. You got sin in your life. Instead of hiding from God and shutting Him out, you need to be inviting Him in. Back when I was growing up, my mom and dad were tenant farmers and never owned any farm ground and hardly had a pot to spit in or a window to throw it out of. And because of that, they didn't have a whole lot of extra money to buy me and my two older brothers a lot of clothes. My mom would babysit for two neighbor kids, a boy named Kevin and his brother named sister named Kim. And once in a while, their mom would come with a cardboard box with all kinds of clothes and shoes that they couldn't wear anymore. And me and my two brothers would pick through that and try to find something that fit us. Well, summer I was 5 years old, I didn't have any shoes to wear. And the only thing in that neighbor's cardboard box was a little pair of black and white cowboy boots, the only thing that fit me. But the problem was they were Kim's cowboy boots. They were girls' cowboy boots. And even at 5 years old, I wasn't going to be caught dead in a pair of girls' cowboy boots. So that day, my dad and my two older brothers were gone for the day. My mom looked at me and she said, well, you don't have a choice because we don't have anything else. My mom went out of the house to go to the chicken house to hunt eggs. I got so mad at her, I slammed the big wooden front door of the kitchen. The only problem was there was a lock on that door that I didn't know how to operate. I locked my mom out of the house. And I knew it. And I started to cry. My mom came back from the chicken house. She started knocking on the door. I didn't know how to let her in. And she's yelling me through the window glass, trying to tell me how to turn that little handle on the doorknob. My fingers weren't strong enough to do it. And I started crying even harder. How in the world was I going to get that door open? And I knew, I just knew that I was going to die if I was in that house all by myself. So my mom went to all the sheds in the outbuildings thinking maybe there might be a spare key laying somewhere. There wasn't. She got a piece of wire and tried to pick the lock. That didn't work. She tried sliding the coat hanger through the seam of the door, tried to manipulate the door handle. That didn't work. So finally, my mom went to the tool shed, got a ladder and a screwdriver, leaned the ladder up against the back kitchen window, took the screwdriver, took the window frame off, took the screen off, took the glass out of the window, slid over top the kitchen sink, and dropped down to the kitchen floor. And folks, when my mom's feet hit that floor, I took off running as fast as my little legs could carry me, because my mom believed in spanking. My mom didn't do no timeout. She was old school. You acted up. She grabbed a yardstick, a spatula, a piece of orange plastic, Hot Wheels track, whatever she could find, and she gave you an attitude adjustment to the back of your front. My mom was so good at swinging a belt, she could have toured with the rodeo. And I don't know where she got her speed from, because she didn't do cardio or CrossFit. But I didn't take three steps, and my mom caught me. And to this day, I can remember what it felt like, just waiting to get that licking that I deserved. But you know what my mom did instead? She got down on her knees, she put her arms around me, and she hugged me. And she said, "Son, why did you try to run away from me and hide? I was just trying to get close to you." People, listen to me. Every single one of us is a sinner. And because of that, we sin all kinds of ways against God, all kinds of ways to shut Him out of our lives. But the grace and mercy of God, He has been working 100 ways from Sunday to try to get to you, to try to get back into your life. Amen. And when He does, He's not going to whoop you. He's not going to tan your hide. He's not going to beat you. He's going to point you to Jesus, and He's going to put His arms around you and hug you and say, "Why did you try to run away and hide from me? I was just trying to get close to you." And the only question is this morning, you going to let Him do that or not? Second reason why you don't hide from God because of your sin is because God doesn't hide from you. If we go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason. You don't hide from God because of your sin. Not only because God already knows about our sin, not only because God doesn't hide from us, but third, because you don't hide from God, you run to God. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 20 to 24. Now, God kicks Adam and Eve out of the garden here. And not because they didn't mulch. But notice, here again is the absolute, incredible, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious grace and mercy of Almighty God. Even though He kicks them out of the Garden of Eden. He didn't just throw them out on their tin ear and say, "Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out." Because He still has a relationship with them. He still has a plan to use them in the future. So verse 20, Adam names his wife Eve, the mother of all living, not the mother of all dead meat. Because God is still going to use them to start the human race. And verse 21, because the fig leaves aren't cutting it, God makes animal skins for Adam and Eve so they can cover themselves. So instead of fig leaves, He gives them fur coats. And what do to get an animal skin? You got to kill an animal. Which means there's blood. So God gets this principle established very early on, just three pages into your Bible. That the blood of something innocent covers the guilt of something, somebody sinful. Because Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The Hebrew word here for kafar means to cover. It also means atonement, to do something to bring God and man together, which is exactly what's happening here. And don't you suppose Adam and Eve were absolutely freaked when they saw those animals killed? They'd never seen death before. They'd never seen blood before. Sin is a radical disease. Requires a radical cure. And what does this animal sacrifice in the Garden of Eden point to? It points to all the other animal sacrifices that God would have the Jewish people do at the tabernacle and the temple down the road. And what do all those animal sacrifices point to? They pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross thousands and thousands of years later. So again, Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, here is another cross reference. Just a couple of pages into your Bible, because this is what the Bible is all about. The Old Testament looked forward to what was going to happen at the cross. The New Testament looks backward to what has already happened on the cross and what it means for us today. Amen. And Adam and Eve get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But notice, it's not an act of vengeance, it's an act of mercy. And God puts a big old angel there with a flaming sword to guard the way back in so Adam and Eve can't get back into the garden. And why? Verse 22, because if Adam and Eve had stayed in the Garden of Eden, they would have eaten of the tree of life. Anybody who eats of the tree of life lives forever. If they'd eaten of the tree of life as sinners, they'd have been sinners forever and could have never been saved. So out of His great love and mercy, God drives Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden so they will first believe the promise of the coming Savior and have their sins forgiven. Then that Savior could take them back to paradise, back to the Garden of Eden, where they could eat of the tree of life and live forever in glory. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. So you will see Adam and Eve in heaven. If you let that same Savior take you back to paradise too. You got sin in your life, you don't hide from God, you run to God. You repent of that sin and you turn to Jesus Christ. Britney Spears, in her book, The Woman in Me, said the absolute worst thing she's ever done in her entire life. 22 years ago, her then boyfriend, Justin Timberlake, got her pregnant. And Britney Spears had an abortion because Justin Timberlake forced her into doing it. This is what Britney Spears said. That abortion was absolutely the most destructive, most devastating thing that has ever happened to me. But here's what Justin Timberlake said about it at a concert last month. I'd like to take this moment to apologize to absolutely effing nobody. And then he sang the song, Cry Me a River. No repentance, no forgiveness. You say, well, Kevin, we're all born a child of God. No, we're all born a child of Adam. You want to be a child of God, you got to be born again in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 13. Just like she was. Black China, international porn star with OnlyFans. All kinds of TV appearances, reality shows. Famous for being famous and for making a baby with Rob Kardashian. She had so much plastic surgery done, she could have died and donated her body to Tupperware. But what do you know? Last March, Black China repented of her sin and turned to Jesus Christ and got saved. And then she got baptized in her own swimming pool. And in the very nanosecond she got saved, she stopped doing the porn and she deleted all of her porn accounts from offline. And she started going by her regular name, which is Angela White. And now she's going through all kinds of procedures to get all that plastic surgery reversed as much as possible. This is what Black China said. For me, it was like the Holy Spirit came over me and told me, this is too much. It's time for a change. This is not who I really am or what God wants me to be. So by the grace of God, I am still here. And I just praise and thank Jesus Christ so much for still loving me and taking me and forgiving me and changing my life. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. She repented of her sin and she is saved in Jesus Christ. Her sins are forgiven. You want to have your sins forgiven? It's not enough to feel bad about what you've done. It's not enough to feel sorry about it. You want to have your sins forgiven, it's not enough to apologize to somebody you may have hurt. Because our sin, ultimately, more than anything else, is a sin against God. You got to deal with Him. You can't be forgiven of your sin by crying. Even if you cry so hard, the snot comes out of your nose. Repentance ain't when you cry. Repentance is when you change. You want your sins forgiven, you got to take those sins to the cross and trust that the blood that Jesus shed on those cross erases it and takes those sins away. That's how you get forgiven. And there's all kinds of sinners in this room right now, this preacher included. You need to do that. You need to run to God. You need to run to Jesus Christ. You need to come to Christ today because it's all covered. The blood of Jesus Christ has covered them all. The lust, the porn, the adultery, the divorces. The blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. It's all covered. That affair you had. That thing that you went to jail for. All the time you spent working. Because you thought making money was a lot more important than your marriage. It's all covered. All the partying that you did. All the people that you hooked up with. All the money that you wasted on blow and crank. It's all covered. You say, but Kevin, I had an abortion. Do you honestly believe that God could forgive me? Absolutely He will. Amen. But Kevin, I got to clean up my act first. You don't clean up your act. You go to God, He'll do the cleaning. Waiting to go to Jesus before you get clean, before you stop sinning, is like waiting to go to the emergency room before you stop bleeding. Go to Him. Run to Him. Run to Him right now. Come to Christ. It doesn't matter to Him how bad your reputation is. It doesn't matter to Him how much money you owe. It doesn't matter to Him how many people hate you and what they say about you. It doesn't matter how long your rap sheet is. You come to Christ. Even if you were molested. Even if you were abused, even if you never had a dad, you had nobody to teach you anything, you come. Even if your ex is trashing you, to everybody that you know, Even if you pray and pray and pray and the same sex attraction is still there and you feel so bad, you just want to kill yourself. Listen to me, you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to blow your brains out. You can turn to Jesus Christ because Jesus can fix this. Jesus can heal this. Jesus died and rose from the dead for this. He died and rose from the dead for you. Today you come to Christ, run to Him. And if you do, no matter what your sin is, no matter how bad it is, you can still go back to paradise too. The Bible tells us when it's all said and done, if you're a Christian trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the very nanosecond you close your eyes in death, you're going to go from that to that. The most peaceful, the most beautiful place you have ever seen in your entire life. Paradise, Jesus calls it. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And that word paradise is an old Persian word that literally means the king's garden. A place of incredible beauty that often had a lot of a menagerie of animals and all kinds of gorgeous plants and flowers and trees and waterfalls, you name it. And in ancient Persia, the greatest honor that anybody could ever get was to be invited to see the king's garden and to walk with the king in the king's garden. And if you die trusting in Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is promising you exactly the same thing. That same day, you will be walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the king's garden. In paradise, in heaven itself. According to UNESCO heritage sites, the most beautiful gardens in the entire world are the gardens at the Palace of Versailles outside of Paris, France, built by King Louis XIV, and so huge they were started in 1661 and took 40 years to finish. 2,000 acres, that absolutely takes your breath away, and I know that because I got to see those gardens back in 1981. But folks, as beautiful and as gorgeous as those gardens are, they look like the dark side of the moon compared to heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. The home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Eye has not seen or ear heard or mind conceived the glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. Who wants to go to heaven? Who wants to go to paradise? Who wants to be with the King in the King's garden? The Bible begins and ends with the garden. Heaven is called paradise, and the rabbis called the Garden of Eden paradise too. And if what the Bible says about heaven seems a lot like the Garden of Eden, that's because it's supposed to. Both the Garden of Eden and heaven have rivers flowing through them and out of them. Both Eden and heaven are filled with gold. God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, just like God will walk with us in the garden in heaven. In the Garden of Eden and heaven both is a tree of life, which is the cross of Christ. God told Adam and Eve they could eat from every single tree in that garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God knew if they ate of that tree, they would think they were smarter than God, and they wouldn't need God at all. So Adam and Eve could have eaten from the tree of life, but they didn't. And you know why? Because it didn't look like life. It looked like death. So Adam and Eve ate from the tree they shouldn't have eaten from. And because of that, they sinned against God. And because of that, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden and put a big old bouncer angel with a flaming sword at the entryway so they couldn't get back into the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of life and live forever. So paradise lost. And people have been trying to get back to paradise ever since. And how do we know that the tree of life is really the cross of Jesus Christ? When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they brought a curse on themselves and all creation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. But Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 25 says, cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree. That's talking about Jesus dying for that curse in our place when He died on the cross, the tree of life. All through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit constantly refers to the cross as a tree. Acts 13:29, Jesus died on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, Christ bore our sin in His body on the tree. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Jesus took away that curse from way back in the Garden of Eden by becoming that curse for us on the tree to pay the price for our sin so that we could be saved. So today, when you look in heaven, when you look at paradise, you look at the King's Garden, there's the tree of life again. But notice, there's no angel and flaming sword blocking the way. There's no barrier you have to overcome. There's no gate that you have to open up. There's no stairs you have to climb. There's no toll you have to pay, because the way there has already been paid for you. It's free. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Whosoever will may come and eat of the tree of life and live forever. Folks, there is a way back to the Garden of Eden. There is a way back to paradise. There is a way back to heaven and the King's Garden. And it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And all the sin and the muck and the mud and the blood and the beer and the chaos and the destruction of this world, the world to come is going to more than make up for every single part of it. Every single hurt. Because Christians, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, no matter how bad your sin is, no matter how bad it is, no time at all, you're going to go from that to that. Just as sure as you're sitting down here, you're going to be up there in heaven, living forever, walking with the King in the King's Garden. And folks, just so we can get through another, heaven's sake, just so we can get through another day, can we just take a moment right now and just think for a second what it's going to be like up there walking with the King in that garden? I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other, what's it going to be like, has ever known. And the joy we share with the King in the King's Garden, none other has ever known. Praise God, praise God. But listen to me. You're never going to have that joy. You're never going to be in that paradise. You're never going to be up there with the King unless you first come to the King right here and now with your sin. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've got sin in your life you have never dealt with, and you know it. There's other people sitting here. You've got things that happened to you in the past. Sins that other people have committed against you that you've never dealt with, that you've never healed from. The nanosecond this service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you bring those things to Jesus Christ, and He will take them away from you so that you can start being the kind of person He's called you to be. You come to Christ today. But listen to me. You're going to come to Christ today. You come naked. No fig leaves. No masks, no disguises, no putting on an act anymore. No pretending. We're 5 seconds to midnight, folks. Living in the last days, we don't have time for that. Jesus died for the person you really are, not for the person you're pretending to be. Today, right now, it's time to get real. Amen. Get real. You come up here naked. You come up here today. You come to Jesus Christ. He will forgive those sins. He will start healing you. And He will start restoring everything that all those evil people in your life and the devil and that canker worm destroyed. You'll start getting it back. Come to Christ today. Run to Christ today. Right now the devil's got you in a grave. Jesus Christ can take that grave and turn it into a garden so that you can walk in that garden with the King.
Psalms 30 says, "You turned my mourning into dancing, took my sackcloth and turned and into joy.
Well, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures it fails, never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every sigh now satisfied here in your love. Oh, on this holiday,
got saved July 21st, 1984, because for the first time in my life, I got serious about being honest before God. I was not saved. I was lost. Today, there's somebody here. You need to come forward and pray to receive Christ because you are not saved. There's people here with sin in your life. You got things that are bothering you from the past. Surrender them to Jesus Christ, and He will start setting you free. Don't hide them from God. Otherwise, go in peace. Serve the Lord.